Welcome to this message, brought to you by Christ Life Church Chicago, the Miracles and Winners Place. Please enjoy God's Word, brought to you through the ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Sojia Desoya. We pray that you will be richly blessed. Please stay tuned after the message for more information.
Amen.
We started this series 2 weeks ago, Wisdom for Living. This is part 3. Wisdom from for Living, part 3. Looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 7 from verse 1 to 14, from Solomon's point of view, we can see how much wisdom that is noted in this Bible, in this Ecclesiastes 7 from verse 1 to 14. What is wisdom? We get the definition of this in the first and the second parts. The quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. The quality of being wise is wisdom. Quality of being wise. The soundness of an action or decision with regard to application of experience, knowledge, and good judgment. The body of knowledge and principles that develops within a specified society or period. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is a principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. So, wisdom is so important. It's a principal thing that we need. We need it in our family. We need it in our business. We need it in the society. In fact, we need it in the church. The Lord gave us the wisdom for anticipation in Jesus' name. Amen. What people say, or what people said, J.I. Parker said that wisdom is in fact the practical side of moral goodness. The practical side of moral goodness. The application of moral goodness. Wisdom is seeing life from God's point of view. Being good at. Wisdom is the ability to apply biblical truths to all life situations. So, wisdom will have a lot of benefits if we allow wisdom into every situation of our life. It will lead us to better things. Wisdom will lead us to better things, and always from wisdom we will be blessed. What will have blessed outcome from wisdom? A wise man learns by the experience of others. An ordinary man learns by his own experience. A fool learns by nobody's experience. Anonymous. So, our text is taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 7, from verse 1. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. The day of death than the day of one's birth. Better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men. And the living we take into heart. Sorrow is better than laughter. For by a sad countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. But the heart of fools is in the house of grief. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For like the crackling of tongues under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is what? Vanity. Surely, oppression destroys a wise man's reason, and a bribe debases the heart. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. Do not say, why were the former days better than this? For you do not inquire wisely concerning this. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and profitable to those who see the sun. For wisdom is a defense as money is a defense. But the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it. Consider the work of God. For who can make straight what he has made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. Surely God has appointed the one as well as the other, so that man can find out nothing that will come after him. Wisdom. Today, in part 3, we're going to treat verses 3 to 4. In part 2, we dwell more on verses 2. Now, let us see, if even though when we are going to be explaining what we can bring out of part 3 to 4, we'll also be explain some things in verse 2. So as we explain verses 3 to 4, you will also see how they are related to verse 2. Wisdom is a principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. So, what brings sad countenance? Verses 3 to 4 says, sorrow is better than laughter. For by a sad countenance, the heart is made better. How can we say that? How can we say sorrow is better than laughter? The heart of the wise is in the house of money. But the heart of fools is in the house of meat. Or heart of merrymaking, or heart of enjoyment. What brings sad countenance or sorrow? One, losses. When anybody should lose anything, when anything is lost, one is sad in his spirit. And even the loss of a loved one, or a friend, or material things, or job, there is this kind of sorrow in our heart when something happens. Even when we have a challenge in our head, we could be sorrowful. But Solomon is saying, sorrow is better than laughter. How wise is that? Sorrow is a mystery teacher, and a good one indeed. Solomon taught us some important lessons from loss and sorrow. Sorrow is a good teacher. When people are sorrowful, they get sober. You learn so many things when you face challenge in life. You learn so many things when you face sorrow than when you are happy, you are in a comfort zone. Look at New English translation of verses 2 to 4. It is better to go to a funeral than a feast, for death is the destiny of everyone, or every person. And the living should take this to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, because sober reflection is good for the heart. When you have a sober reflection, it's good for the heart. It's kind of healing to our heart. It's kind of taking us to realities of life. The heart of the wise is in the house of money, but the heart of fools is in the house of many making. New English translation. Let me say this before I begin to give us the life applications through the eyes of Solomon. Christian joy is contingent upon our relationship with the Lord. Our joy should depend on our relationship with the Lord, not upon our circumstances. Which means we should continue to love the Lord all the time. The joy of God should continue to be our strength, either in time of plenty or in time of scarcity, either in time of challenges of life, sorrow, or in time of joy. Our joy shouldn't be based on the circumstances of our life. Every disappointment is an opportunity for appointment with the destiny. So when God should allow anything to come our way, there is always reason for that. And for everything that may bring sorrow to our heart, God knows. He told his disciples that they should be happy, that they will face tribulations. They will face so many things, but they should be of good joy. Say in the world we see tribulation, but be of good joy, for I have overcome the world. So, Christian joy should be based on our relationship with God, not with circumstances that we may face. Even Jesus Christ himself was called a man of sorrow. Isaiah 53:3 says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. So, if Jesus Christ can be ascribed by Prophet Isaiah that he's a man of sorrow, then what do you think for us? Naturally, we want everything to go smoothly. Naturally. Naturally, we want everything to be easy. Naturally. But life is never like that. If you have not experienced any loss, you are not yet human. We all experience losses in life. Like the loss of parents, like the loss of a job. If you have not been fired on a job, thank God for your life. But no one is exempt. Christians, unbelievers, will face storm in life. But there's always reasons for facing storm. God always creates certain opportunity after you face hardship in life, after you face obstacle in life. Before I begin to give us those points as seen by Solomon, let me give you this story. This is a very good story we can use to explain this introduction to part 3. In an ancient times, a king had a boulder placed on a roadway, like a big rock. Then he hid himself and watched to see if anyone would remove the huge rock. Some of the king's wealthiest merchants and courtiers came by. Important people, VIPs, they passed by. And seeing them walk around it. Some of us, we don't want to face storm on head collision. We want to walk around it. And I tell you, if you walk around storm, if you walk around losses, if you walk around things that God wants you to pass through, there is a loss. You will lose the opportunity. You will lose the benefit God wants you to have. You will lose the experience God wants you to have. So it's better to just walk through it. If God should allow you to have a challenge in your life, walk through that challenge. And you will see what God will bring out of it. Most times, we don't know what is going to be the end result. We don't know the benefit we are going to have. But it's by faith that we walk through it. Because faith is substance of things hoped for and evidence of things unseen. So God wants you to walk through it before you say, God, what will be the benefits if you allow me to walk through this situation? He wants you first to walk through it. So, they all walk around it. Many mountain blamed the king for not keeping the roads clear, but not did anything about getting the stone out of the way. They begin to blame. When we have something that can bring loss, sorrow, anything, it is natural for us to begin to blame people. You blame friends, you blame community, you blame church, you blame family. It's natural. So these people are doing the same thing. They begin to blame the king for placing obstacles on the path. Then a peasant came along carrying a load of vegetables. Upon approaching the boulder, the peasant laid down his body and tried to move the stone to the side of the road. After much pushing and straining, he finally succeeded. Remember, the king was watching. The king hid himself somewhere and he was watching the people. And he finally succeeded in moving the stone. After the person picked up his load of vegetables, he noticed something. So he moved the big stone that was an obstacle, then he noticed something on the foot on the ground. A purse lying in the road where the boulder had been. The purse contained many gold coins and a note from the king, indicating that the gold was for the person who removed the boulder from the road. The person learned what many of us never understand. Every obstacle in life, every sorrow in life, every challenge in life is an opportunity to improve our condition. It's an opportunity for God to bless us. Better to go to the house of money than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men. Sorrow is better than laughter. For by a sad countenance, the heart is made better. When the heart is grieved, the heart is made better because the heart will face reality of things. The heart of the wise is in the house of money, but the heart of fools is in the house of men. So what can we learn from this? Sorrow is a mystery teacher that will teach us so many things. You know what happened in Las Vegas last Sunday? In many offices, people started to discuss it. People were discussing it, they were blaming this person, blaming this, blaming that one. Many, many people got a great lesson in this, that the end can come at any time. The end can come when somebody is enjoying. The end can come when somebody is traveling. The end can come at any moment. Nobody is as sure of tomorrow. Tomorrow is in the hands of God. And these are the things we learn in this. People are so sober. People look at life as so fragile that material things are nothing. That place place where those people die in villages is not poor people who have, find it hard to go there. It's for the rich people. As a matter of fact, someone was saying in our office that some of his people, family members or so, try to get tickets. They cannot get tickets to that location. It was fully sold out. Fully what? Sold out. And very expensive tickets. But look at the end thereof. So, someone said, the first lesson we can get in this, in the fact that sorrow is better than laughter. For by a sad countenance that the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of money, but the heart of fools is in the house of men. One said, it is through the heart of wisdom. You see and realize that it is good to learn from life losses rather than being embittered by them. If you lose anything in life, you ask God, what do you want me to learn in this? Rather than being angry at yourself, angry at God, being embittered at your family. You ask God, what do you want me to learn from this? Because nothing is going to happen to you without God's permission. Two, sorrow from death compels us to learn more about life. You learn more about life. When something happens to somebody, you learn more about life and make us to ask the really important, serious, and realistic questions. It forces us to go beyond the ordinary to extraordinary and beyond superficial to the serious. You learn so many things when people lose anything that is important to them. We learn so many things in that. When you go to a funeral, you learn so many things in that. You see that this is the head of everybody. Three, during the moment of any loss, you gain perspective and reality about what you got. You gain perspective and reality about what you got. Whenever your material things is threatened, anytime that what you got is threatened, or all you have achieved are threatened, then you will realize most of them is not that important in life. That most of the things we think are important, most of the things we have achieved that we think are important, they are not as important again in life when any of them is threatened. Luke 12, verse 15. Luke 12, 15. And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. You can lose any of these things. You can lose. There is nothing that one cannot lose in life. But we will learn the lesson that our life does not consist in the abundance of what we have, which means we can lose these things any moment. Psalm 62, verse 10 says, do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. When you go through an event that threatens everything you got, you will know and you will mostly realize that what you have isn't very important as having God in your life. Sorrow is better than laughter. Because you learn so many things when you are challenged. You learn so many things when the heart is sorrowful. It's a sober reflection. The heart is be sober, and there are many, many lessons that you will not be able to learn when you are laughing. You learn it when you are sorrowful in your heart. For so many people in life, it is storm, tragedy, or loss that reminds them of things that are really important and matter in life. So many people, until they face storm, before they realize that these things are not as important as these ones, then they begin to prioritize their time. When life is too comfortable and easy, people get busy with so many unimportant things in life. When life is so comfortable, people get busy with things that are not essential, things that are not important. That's why you learn more when the heart is sorrowful than when the heart is so happy. Loss or storm reminds us of what is important. Pain, storm, loss, sorrow help people to clear their lenses and recalibrate the machine of their priorities. You will surely learn through this time about where your misplaced values are. When you are passing through grief, when the heart is sorrowful, you instantly learn where are your values. What are the things you make so important in your life? What are the things that are taking first priority in your life? Seven, sorrow is better than laughter because It helps us to keep first things first. It helps us to make first things first. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things have been added. Solomon was talking here from his personal life experience. He was given so many opportunities, but he became a prodigal king. He wasted every great opportunity he had, wasted it in pleasure. And he concluded, vanity of vanity is vanity. And of course, through that height, he came into pen down this chapter 7 of Ecclesiastes from verse 1 to 14. This may be, you know, it helps us to keep first things first. Sorrow in life purges us from all the don't that so often preoccupies our thoughts and consume our important priorities. All those don't that will occupy your time, occupy your opportunity you have. When people are passing through some period, it helped them to purge out all those dogs. And they came back to live a very good life. Of course, that is for those who got understanding of what they are passing through. It will help us to manage our time better. It will help you to manage your time better. When you see things that are happening to other people, it will help you to manage your time better. People are saying, when they saw what happened last week in Las Vegas, people are saying that they want to love their family more. Some are saying that when they are going out now, they want to hug their loved one or their husband or wife, because they never know if they are not going to meet again. People started talking some reality, of course, those are realities. They are not assumptions, they are realities. They are realities of life. And most times people don't get to that level of understanding until they have issue that can bring sorrow into their heart. It will help us to manage our time better, to build relationship rather than building material things. You build relationship with your loved one. You build relationship with your friends rather than building material things that you can lose in a second. This may be hard reflections. For sorrow is better than laughter, for by a sad countenance the heart is made better. You have a very good reflections of life. You look at life as vanity. You look at things that you have that you can lose at any moment. You look at the opportunity that you have that you can just slip away at any moment. This may be hard reflection, but at the end of everything, it is very wise to do that. And it leads to making some very important changes that will make us better. After people pass through a sorrowful time, most people that are wise, and looking at the wisdom that someone said, it will help them to sit down and rearrange their lives and have a better mind than what they had before they faced that sorrowful situation in their lives. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Solomon talking here from practical view. Most times in life, when we face evil, you want to go to somebody who can give you life experience. You want to go to somebody who possibly have passed through that kind of situation in life. And that person will definitely give you a good counsel. You know, in the exhortation that the pastor gave us just now, from that Psalm 1, from verse 1, she explained to us that blessed is the man that stands not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is what? He's in the word of the Lord. So that the counsel is taken from somebody who has enriched his or her heart with God's word. And afterward, the Bible says, it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in the season. His fruit shall not wither. To have opportunity to excel in life, to have opportunity to succeed in life, we must definitely stand in the counsel of the godly, not the counsel of the ungodly. Solomon was talking from his experience, and I want to stop here for part 3. Solomon is telling all of us, don't make the mistake that I've made. If you have wealth, put God first. If you have material things, don't focus on material things because you can lose them any moment. Focus on things that are important. Make first things first. If you are here, you are not giving your life to Christ, think about giving your life to Christ. Because if you seek first the kingdom of God If you seek his righteousness, all the things people run around, that will take their time, that will make them not to think right, that Lord will do what? We hide it to you. And the blessings of God will not bring any sorrow. God's blessings will be unique. Instead of acquiring and making things that are not important as if they are important, God will help you to have the heart of humility, because you will know that those things were given to you by God, and that he can take them at any moment. We learn these lessons when we go to the house of money. We learn these lessons based on what Solomon said: sorrow is better than laughter. For by a sad countenance, by a heart that is grieved, the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the heart of money. Take your heart as heart of somebody who is very wise. Think about the end of somebody who has not given his life to Christ. Think about the end of the one who said, I am rich. And after he is dead, he cannot take any opportunity again or cannot control those wealth again. Think about that. For the heart of fools is in the heart of merrymaking. Don't let your heart all the time take decision on merrymaking, only enjoyment. Understand that life is not always bread of roses. The Lord bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. That time we thank you this afternoon, we bless your name for your mercy, and we thank you for giving Solomon the opportunity to pen this thing down for our good today. We want to thank you, Lord. Help us, O Father, to give our heart unto wisdom. Help us, Lord, to be able to apply all that you are telling us into our lives, so that we can, at the end of the day, be able to enjoy it. Thank you, blessed Messiah. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Worship with us on Sundays at 11 a.m. with Sunday school at 10 a.m. Our Wednesday Bible study starts at 8 p.m. and our monthly night vigil starts at 12 midnight on the first Friday of every month. Call us today at 773-936-1348 or visit our website at www.christ-life-chicago.org. The church is located at 8927-29 South Houston Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60617. We hope to see you soon.